This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Staying Focused.
At the end of each year, pundits from all over the networks and all over the media begin to look back over the previous 12 months in order to take the pulse and the temperature of what's happening in the country. Well, the Week magazine, which is a consortium of all different media, they talk about what's happening with the national media, with cable media, with the newsprint and magazines. They kind of put a lot of things together, and on December 25th edition, they had an edition titled The Way We Were in 2015, and here are some of the excerpts about how America is feeling about itself in 2015 and what it's going to portend for 2016. So it starts out with, how are we feeling? And the answer is pretty dismal. Wow, pretty dismal. 69% of Americans feel the country's on the wrong track. 72% of the country believe the country's not as great as it used to be. 59% say the economy is doing poorly. 61% of the say the American dream is broken. And then the next paragraph was, what are we afraid of? 83% of Americans fear a large-scale terrorist attack. 60% fear that there are terrorists living in our own hometown. 63% worry someone whom they know will be murdered this year in some kind of a violent attack. And here's mine, 38% fear sharks, a shark attack. And that's why I won't go in a bathtub anymore. How has society changed? 61% support gay marriage. 61% believe it's morally acceptable to have a baby out of wedlock. And 58% say marijuana should be legal. These statistics do, in fact, point to a dismal picture. And as such, that picture can affect the quality of the believer's life and a non-believer's life. Remember what Jesus said, it rains on the just and the unjust. In other words, there's nothing happening in life to those people that isn't happening to you and to me. There is no such thing in that regard as those people. Good news and bad news comes to everybody. Problems come to everybody. People can be adversely affected and impacted by all this bad news that seems to be pouring out us so much faster than it's ever come before. It can have a negative effect on us. Now, when we have a negative effect on the outlook of the future, when we're negative about things and when we're negative about things going on in our own life, you know what that really is doing indirectly? It's focusing us on bad news and taking our eyes off Jesus and His good news. Think about it. When we allow our brain to be so absorbed with bad stuff and negative stuff, it's going to have an impact on our life. So how do we get refocused? And that's kind of the overarching understanding of my message today about getting focused. How do we find some balance or equilibrium between all the bad news and all the good news Jesus gives us through His Word? How do we get to that place where we have some kind of a sense that everything is going to be all right because everything is in God's hands and we won't have to fall into the abyss of stress and anxiety that's created by the negative spirit of the day? And I'd like to get you refocused this morning by looking at a text in Scripture that's very healthful. Healthful. And it's found in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8. So what's God's remedy for all of this unhealthy thinking? It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. Life is a great matter of attitude. What is your attitude? And that's a really important question for you to deal with. Our text says a healthy attitude is built on Jesus Christ as its foundation. Joy is born and seeded in the heart and the mind of the believer as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, joy is in here. It's in here. You gotta let it go. Paul says, let your joy in the Lord overcome even your most dire circumstance. That joy is the only attitude of heart powerful enough to carry you through life's stress points. What's in here already can get you through what's happening right now or what may have happened in the past and you're still dealing with it, and will help you to get through whatever is coming your way in 2016. We can't see around the bend. We don't know what's going to be happening to us in the days, even the hours ahead. But God knows, and God wants to let you know that when you get around that corner, and if it's something ugly, you're not alone. You can still have that joy inside of you. Paul doesn't put a lot of conditions or caveats on releasing joy. He doesn't say, look, pray about having joy. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say work at having joy. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say just imagine that you have joy. He doesn't say that. He just says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Happiness is an emotion and joy is an attitude. Happiness depends on what's happening, but joy is deep seated and down inside you. So regardless of what's happening, you can still retain a positive attitude. You can still have an overcomer's mentality. You can still believe, regardless of how big the circumstance, that your God's bigger than the circumstance. And you can still know if you trust in Him, He is going to get you through this and you're going to come out the other end better and not bitter. Emotions come and go, but attitudes come and grow. If you don't have Christ as your Lord and Savior, joy will elude you because the culture will focus you, your search for joy in all the wrong places. In other words, people want joy. They want that special thing inside that gives them a positive attitude. But the question is, where do you find it? Outside of Jesus, I want to tell you, it's not there. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no joy. There is no hope. There is no such thing as true love. There was a comedian back in the 1960s who was very controversial. He was considered a street philosopher. His name was Lenny Bruce. He got in a lot of trouble for using four-letter words. He had a philosophy of life, and this is what he said about life. Look, you only have 65 years to live. Before you're 20, you can't enjoy anything because you don't know what's going on. After you're 50, you can't enjoy it either because you don't have the physical energy. So you only have around 25 years. And in those 25 years, I'm gonna swing, he said. He died of an overdose of morphine at the age of 40. Real joy is in Christ, and that joy sets a pattern of attitudes which will change your life. So if you go looking in all the wrong places, I promise you, you're going to be disappointed. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, like Peter did, as soon as Peter took his eyes off Christ, he sank. But as long as his eyes were on Christ and he put his trust in Him, he was able to stand above the circumstance. What are you holding on to get above the circumstance? Verse 5 says, let your moderation, that is your gentleness, let your gentleness be known. And as you grow and mature in the faith, a good barometer of that maturing is your capacity to accommodate the differences in people. In his letter to the young pastor Titus, Paul writes these words, Titus 3, verses 1 and 2. Put them, that's the church, in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. In other words, let them have a good testimony to the people outside the church. Let people see by their life, the way they live in a life of respect, how they're doing. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness, gentleness unto all men. I wonder how many marriages would still be together. How many siblings would still be speaking to one another? How many friends would still be friends? And how many church splits would have been avoided if the people involved were able to demonstrate a little more maturity, a little more self-control, a little more gentleness, and a little more love? Ever wonder? The biblical injunction about gentleness looks a little bit like this. Here's what a gentle spirit looks like. It is sensitive to the opinions and ideas of others. In other words, you're not always knocking down what other people think. You're willing to listen. It shows respect for the differences in personalities. Listen, this is what you get. You see? What you see is what you get. And I think at my point in life, at 45, I am not going to change. But what you see is what you get. Can you live with the differences? Then it goes on to say, it avoids harsh and abrupt words. Boy, I tell you, there's the killer. You know, words mean things. And so many times we let loose. We feel better. But what damage has it done to other people? It's like a bunch of people down there in the basement, and you lift the window on the basement, and you throw in a hand grenade. You feel better. But what have you done? How much carnage have you left behind? Words can do that. Words can hurt people. Be careful of what you say. Be careful, little lips, what you say. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful. And then a gentle spirit doesn't belittle, degrade, or gossip about others. And how harmful and how deadly is gossip in the church? And how gossip has spread today over social media. We were talking about this in Sunday school. It doesn't take, you know, years ago, if you wanted to gossip about somebody, you had to go someplace to do it. Like over the fence and talk to your neighbor. You had to go someplace to be able to catch up with people. Today, you want to gossip, you pull out that thing and you just put in a plug in a few texts on your Facebook. And what is it? The whole world now knows what you think about that person. Things they never knew that you just begin to share. Gossip is running rampant today. Watch it. Verse 6 says, and instructs, don't let anxiety master you. A little stress and a little anxiety are part of life, but when they dominate your days and your nights, there are consequences. In other words, anxiety and stress, you know, it's pretty good. But there comes a place where anxiety and stress can be harmful. Surveys say that 43% of all adults suffer adverse health effects due to stress. 75% of all visits to primary care doctors are for stress and related complaints. Stress is blamed for more than one half of the 550 million workdays lost annually because of absenteeism. Imagine that. 40% of all worker turnover is due to job stresses. A USA Today survey of 501 adults revealed that 36% said that work was their biggest source of stress. 22% said issues about money were their biggest source of stress. 10% said their children were. Only 5% had no stress. 19% had a little. Blaise Pascal, who was a mathematician and a philosopher, he wrote this: one of the ways in which man brings the most trouble upon himself is by his inability to be still. We're so torqued up, we're so anxious up, we're so stressed up, we're so worried up, we're so caught up in the things that are going on in our daily life, we don't know how to stop. We don't know how to relax. We don't know how to get our mind to stop for a while and pause. And when your mind is constantly spinning with all of these things, sure, you're going to have anxiety and stress. But Blaise Pascal would agree with what God says in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. When your head's swirling with the things you have allowed it to occupy, how about stopping? And how about saying, I know that you are God, and I know that you're with me, and I know that you can get me through this, and I know that you can stop my mind from spinning like this. Just help me to get through the next 5 minutes, Lord. I promise you, he will. How do I know? Because he's done it for me. Sometimes it's time to slow down and refocus. You're in good hands with Jesus. And what's the worst thing that's going to happen? What's the worst thing that could possibly happen in this circumstance? Have you ever thought that through? Well, a lot of times the worst thing that you can think is going to happen is not going to happen. 95% of the things you worry about never take place. Verse 7, God promises to guard your mind, to guard your mind. So God will guard your mind by keeping you focused on Jesus and his many promises in the scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Get a grip. Work with the Lord. Give him a chance. Slow down. Go through his word. The hymn writer Elijah A. Hoffman put it this way: what have I to dread? What have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarm. Can you visualize yourself in Jesus' arms this morning? Or the next time when everything just seems overwhelming and too much to bear? Can you see Jesus holding you up? Can you see Jesus bringing you close to his heart? And verse 8 says, we must focus on six critical factors. Number 1, true things. 2, honest things. 3, just things. 4, pure things. 5, lovely things. And number 6, things which make for a good report, which is your testimony. So Paul says, why don't you focus, why don't you concentrate on the truth? Well, then along comes Pilate back 2,000 years ago, and he looks Jesus in the face and he says, what is truth? And a lot of people are asking that question today. What is truth? And you know the truth is, you can't hardly find it today. Somebody said, this is the truth, and then the news will have somebody standing right next to him and say, well, that's not the truth. Here's the truth. You get to the point where you can't find it with a flashlight or a sweat or and a sledgehammer. Jesus had previously answered the question in John 14:6 when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am all of those things. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes up by the Father but by me. So Paul picks that up in 2 Timothy 2:15, and he says this: study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's the truth? This is it. This reveals the truth, Jesus. Everything we know about Jesus, everything we know about God comes between the covers of this book. All of these words, all of these verses, all of these chapters, and all of these books reveal God. You need to know more about what this book says if you want to be able to sort the truth out from the falseness that's going on in the world today. Stressed out, life moving too fast, bogged down in the negative, your mind in a whirlwind. Listen to Isaiah 26:3. Thou, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Have you tried that? Have you ever tried that when things were swirling around? When fear gripped your heart and you didn't think you could get past it. When sorrow gripped your heart and the tears flowed down. When you were confused and when you were upset. Have you ever stopped to say, if I keep my mind on God, He'll get me through this. He'll keep me in perfect peace. That verse is a promise to you right here and right now. Claim it. Claim Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Then Paul writes that we should be focused on things honest, the things decent and honorable. In 2015, honesty and honor were hard to come by. Recent polls say that 90% of Americans don't trust the government. 90%. Our economy is on its economic knees because of human greed. Honesty and integrity marked a man I looked up to when I was a kid named Pastor Jim Anderson. He founded a ministry called Jubilee Ministries, and he had a camp where I got saved called Jubilee Ranch. And there was a great flood when the Delaware overflooded back in the 1950s. The boys were taken out by rowboats. The girls were taken out by helicopter. The floods came. That camp was destroyed. The ministry was destroyed. They had no money. They had no insurance. And the ministry owed a lot of money to vendors. And you know what? Jim Anderson went to work as a teacher in the Bronx. I want to tell you, the man never went bankrupt. He paid back every one of the people who were his vendors. Every single person got paid. That's honesty. That's integrity. Do we see it anymore? I pray that we can see it. Paul writes that we should focus on things that are just. In other words, we are focused on doing what's right and in harmony with what Jesus would do. And then he tells us to stay focused on what's pure and what's lovely. Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So what do you see on TV? What do you see in the movies? What do you see on Facebook? What do you see on other social media? Do you see things pure and lovely? I don't think so. Things that are pure and lovely uplift the human spirit. Things that are pure and lovely bless others and raise the human spirit. We live in a culture which is marked by pornography, vulgarity, profanity, sexuality, and violence. That doesn't bless the young people, men and women, who see it. The stuff that we see in the movies, the stuff that's on television, the stuff that's available today is from the gutter. Now, that's not bringing you up. That's pulling you down. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. And be careful, little ears, what you hear. Things pure and lovely are not readily our society's entertainment menu. If you want to focus on things pure and lovely, you're going to have to censor what it is you see and what it is you hear. Our text concludes implying the net result of a life focused on Jesus Christ, the Word, and the family of faith is a testimony, a good report that pleases God and draws praise and honor to Jesus Christ. A life committed to Christ and placed in His hands can be transformed into a beautiful life. Do you have a beautiful life? When you look inwardly, do you see something beautiful? When you look at your past, do you see God's working in your life? Are things kind of scary right now in your life? Well, if you're focused on Jesus Christ this morning, I want to tell you, God loves you to the point where He will help you get through this. God loves you so much, He loves you just the way you are. But He loves you too much to leave you just the way you are. Your life and my life is a continual process of growing, of staying focused. Have you lost your focus this morning? Are you focused on other things, other thoughts, other philosophies, other things that have come into your mind that are scary, other things that have come into your mind that are not pure and holy? Ask the Lord this morning to cleanse you of those things. Ask the Lord to forgive where your mind has been. Ask the Lord to forgive where your eyes have seen. And come before Him in 2016 prepared to walk in the way He would have you to walk. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look true, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of life will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Stay focused. Let's pray. So this morning, Father, we would just pray that you would help us to be refocused and focused on Jesus. If our minds have wandered elsewhere, if you're not the center of our attention and our affection, help us to realize it first of all, Lord, and then help us to live in such a way that our priority is pleasing you. Right now, Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters gathered here this morning. I pray in some way you have spoken to them about attitude, about the heart, about their priorities, about their desires, about their focus. And I pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.